Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Today we finish up our brief introduction to the Lord's Prayer. And before I read the scripture, I'd just like to make one observation. And that is a difference between us and our Catholic friends. Protestants end the Lord's Prayer with, "Thine is the power and the kingdom and the glory forever." Our Catholic friends do not have that as part of the Lord's Prayer. And that's because in this case, they're actually closer to the Bible than we are. The Bible finishes with, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." We have that closing, that extra closing, because that is the way a Jewish person would finish up a prayer in the time of Jesus. But actually, our Catholic friends are actually closer to the scriptures here than we are. I'd also ask you to look at the very back of your bulletin, at the modern English. We'll come to that in a minute. From the Gospel of Luke, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." Then from the Gospel of Matthew, "Pray then in this way, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors." It's interesting. I was listening on the web this week to a classic scholar, and he made a point I hadn't thought that much about. He said, if you take the gods of Greek and Rome, they don't forgive. You can placate them, you can work around them, but they don't forgive. And he said, that's Judaism and that's Christianity, the idea that God forgives. "And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one." Now, if we could just turn to the back of the bulletin to the modern English version of the Lord's Prayer. I'd just like to read this to you so you have a sense of it. If you go to an English-speaking country and go to a Protestant church, chances are this is the version of the Lord's Prayer that they will use. And I think overall, the traditional one is ingrained in me. I think this one's actually more accurate. But here we are. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours now and forever. Amen." Down through the ages, people have found help and strength in the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. And this fall, we've been looking at some of the riches that are found there in a very brief way. And if you remember, this prayer opens with its focus on God. God is addressed in a very intimate and personal way. Abba, Father. It's the word a little child would use for a parent. Again, very close, very personal. Then the prayer moves on to ask for the completion of God's loving purpose for this world, for this creation. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And after we pray for the completion of God's loving purpose, again, love wins in the end. After we've prayed for God's purposes, then the prayer turns to our needs. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. From God's forgiveness of us flows our forgiveness of other people. Today we're focusing in on the last line of the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And there are many shades of meaning here, depending on how you understand that word, temptation. And the first is the very obvious one. It refers to our human foibles and failings. And there's a very funny story about a husband who was going over the monthly bills, and his wife was in the next room. And the husband said to the wife, "Ruth, I thought you weren't going to buy a new dress. What happened?" And Ruth answered from the other room, "The devil made me do it." And he said to her, "You should have said, 'Get thee behind me, Satan.'" And she answered, "I did." But he said, "Sweetheart, you look absolutely gorgeous from behind." Our foibles, yes. And you know the old saw about the guy who wrote a letter to the IRS. And he said, "I'm enclosing a check for $1,500. I didn't report my earnings correctly last year. And I haven't been able to sleep since. And if I still can't sleep, I'll send you the rest of the money." But this is, again, how we normally understand temptation, you know, our foibles. But on a more serious level, I think it's a cry of the human heart that really wants to do right, wants to do good, but knows how easily it can be overpowered. You know, "Lord, keep that bottle away from me. Don't let me give in to that urge. You know what alcohol does to my family. You know what it does to my personality. But if I do fall, help me to get back on the wagon again. Lord, you know how quick I am to temper. Please don't let that guy at the office irritate me again. Help me to control that anger of mine. But if I do slip, help me to put things right. But do help me control my impulses. Lord, you know how I like to gossip. You know how I love to hear gossip and talk about people behind their backs. Help me to resist that. But again, if I do slip, help me to kind of, you know, correct the harm I may have done." Now that's temptation as we would normally understand it, right? That's wanting to do the right thing, but somehow we mess up. The Greek word behind the English has more shades of meaning than we would expect. It means temptation as we normally understand it, but it also means test and trial. And this is the way the modern English version of the prayer uses it. Lead us not into the time of testing. Lead us not into the time of trial. And here the prayer is a cry to God to help us escape some of the hard blows that life can have. You know, loss, marital breakdown, business failure, illness that just comes out of nowhere and changes our life forever. This is a prayer for God to help us avoid those hard blows that life can bring. But if they do come, it's also a prayer that we do not become that kind of embittered, resentful, turned in on oneself kind of person. You know what I mean. It's a prayer for God's strength if those hard times do come. God's strength to see us through. Temptation, the way we normally understand it, a prayer that somehow, you know, we might avoid the trials and testings of life. And Jesus knew we would face them. He went through them. There's also another shade of meaning here, too. And this goes back to Jesus' own life. And I think you'll remember this. Remember after they have the Lord's Supper in the upper room and they go to the Garden of Gethsemane. And the disciples, they just had a big meal. They're kind of sleepy. And Jesus says, pray that you do not enter into temptation. And by that, he means just what happened to Peter. Peter falls asleep. And then what does he do? He follows, he has the courage to follow Jesus to the courtyard of the high priest's home. But when he's challenged, his knees buckle. And he denies he ever knew Jesus. I don't know what you're talking about. And this is a prayer, I think, that when put to the test, we will not, like Peter, deny our Lord. This is a prayer that we will not, like those first disciples, have very sleepy eyes in our spiritual life, but that will take care of it and nurse it and nurture it. And this is a prayer if by any chance we should deny our Lord through our words or our actions, that somehow, like Peter, we'll be able to come through that dark night of the soul and find faith again, even stronger faith than we had before. So these are three different shades. One, the obvious temptations of life. Second, a prayer that will be delivered from the blows of life, the trials and testing. And third, that whatever happens to us, we will not deny our faith. But there's something else here. I don't know if you've noticed the wording, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Does God lead us into temptation? What do you think? I think God doesn't lead us into temptation. He sees us through it. I like the translation of the French version of the Lord's Prayer, which says, "Do not let us give in to temptation. Do not let us give in to temptation. Do not let us give in to the time of trial and testing." And I think some examples here, you know, there are times in life when the waters can be troubled and when it can be dangerous. And it's easy to slip. And I remember one time I was out with the dog in the woods. And this was in the deep woods, and we were just below a waterfall. It was like Butterfly Falls or Buttermilk Falls or something like that. And there was a stream that came from that that flowed quickly. And normally the state had put in flattened rocks across the ponds, across the water, so that you could just jump from one to the other and get across. But the water was high and the rocks were all covered with water. The dog had swum across the stream and was waiting for me on the other side. And I was wondering, how am I going to cross this fast-flowing stream? And there was a tree that had come down, a big trunk. And I thought, I will cross on that trunk. And you know, they say, at least this is what I was taught, when you're like going across a stream on a trunk, you're supposed to keep your eye on a specific point ahead of you. Of course, I looked down at the water, which you're not supposed to do, and you know what happened? I was up to my waist in the water. I got home a very soggy mess. But I think, you know, that point that helps us keep our balance as we're crossing those troubled waters, I think, for us as Christians, that's Christ. And again, if we keep our eye on him, that will help us keep our balance when we're going across those logs in our own lives. Let me use another example too. Jill Conway. Has anybody heard of Jill Conway? She was an Australian woman. Grew up in Australia, came here, went to Harvard, and became the first woman president of Smith College up in Northampton. And she, as I say, started out in Australia, and they had a farm there, and things were rough. Her father died while she was still very young. There was a drought. You know, there's been a severe drought this year in Australia, too. But the farm was hit hard. They almost lost the farm. And when she was a senior in high school, she said she was just lost. She didn't know what she was going to do. And she writes that she when she was a senior in high school, she really didn't have a plan for the future. She didn't really have a map for the future. She didn't know what to do. But she remembered something her father had told her. And the father had told her, if you're ever lost in the bush, don't run around. Just go and sit in the shade and wait for night to come. And when night comes, you'll be able to see the Southern Cross. And with that, you'll be able to navigate yourself and find your way home. And again for us, Jesus is that Southern Cross that helps us find our way home. He doesn't lead us into temptation. We do that ourselves. But he's that southern cross that helps us find our way home. So the different shades of meaning once again. The obvious one, that cry about the blows of life, and the temptation to deny our faith when we're pressed. And maybe our translation of the Lord's Prayer is a little bit misleading. God does not lead us into temptation. He sees us through it. Amen.